life. It is life-changing material and things that you will see as we go on. We're just scratching the surface of what is happening today. Let me review some of the things I've said. First, let me give you the scripture that we're looking at today, Luke chapter 16, verse number 12. I would not be given an expository message from Luke 16, but this scripture in verse number 12 highlights the principle that I am talking about today. Luke chapter 16, verse number 12. It says in verse 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" And I want to highlight that today as a principle in the Word of God, because as you will see, God operates according to principles. I'm going to talk about soon in this series that God is concerned that we enjoy not only the end result, but the process. His thing is not just getting you to heaven. You should enjoy the journey on the way. You following that? Now, let me get into what I said on last, a couple of weeks ago. I gave a sermon entitled, "I'm Mad with My Dad." Do you remember that? And I talked about, I was angry with my spiritual parents, my spiritual mothers and fathers who have neglected my training over the years because they did not go far enough in God. And as I thought about it later, some of them I could not respect because they did not go as far in God as I was growing up under them, if you can understand that. So my teachers before me, a number of them stopped in their growth with God and therefore were not able to show me how to move further into the things of the Spirit. And so they could not give me a greater inheritance. They could not pass on the double portion blessing. And I would talk about that. You will understand it more and more as we go on. And when I talk about spiritual fathers, I also talk about spiritual mothers. But God has given me some over the years who have been absolutely wonderful, and others who should have spoken into my life and were not able to because they did not go far enough in God. I mentioned that I was mad with them because they neglected to develop themselves. That was what was generating my anger, because I need to pass on to the next generation, and they did not take the time to help me to pass on to the next generation. My mind recalls conversations I've had with men in the ministry, and they would say, "Oh, you know what you're doing." "No, I don't know. I'm gifted and anointed, but I don't know what I'm doing." And now I understand they didn't know what they were doing either. And I was doing better than they were doing, so they thought I knew what I was doing. You follow that? And so I was a boy leader. And a boy leader can only lead you to the law. He is a schoolmaster. He can't really lead you to Christ. You will see that as we go on. Then the second sermon, I tried to make it clear to everybody in this fellowship that we cannot develop son and daughter, father and son relationships without being prepared to do so. And I will talk about the preparation. I first talked about my own preparation, is that I have to make sure that I'm a man of integrity, that I am growing in all the areas that God challenges me with, and enjoying the process. Again, I shouldn't be angry with God when he challenges me about my eating. It pops up, and people say, "Well, Pastor, you're fit." Yeah, thank God for that. But he is still working on me. I could be more fit than I am. Amen to me. Amen. That's my own amen. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. I was praying. I was telling the Lord. I just told him, "Lord, I'm totally surrendered to you." And then a few moments later, had an attack of a food appetite that God had told me to drop. And I was immediately started rationalizing, like, let me see if I can just eat that one more time. And God said, see? Okay. So I had to back up from that. Amen. Now, if you or I are out of order, if I don't prepare myself to deposit an inheritance, you will miss it. And then if you don't prepare yourself to receive, you will miss it. You follow? I will be held accountable because I didn't prepare myself. So God will judge me differently than he will judge you. You follow? I have a heavier deal with, because I am not only, I have to watch over your souls as somebody who must give an account. So I have to prepare myself to be ready to answer and to impart into your life. That's a preparation that I have to go through. On the other side, you have to prepare to be a son or a daughter in the house. And I understand that preparation, because when somebody requires order out of you, if you're not used to that, rebellion wells up. I told you about my own thing about rebellion. You tell me, what were we laughing about today? Just in the car, we were laughing. I asked Norton to get some music. I wanted to hear some Kirk Franklin on the way to church. I asked him to get Kirk Franklin. Norton got Kirk Franklin. He brought it to the car. And he said, Dad, just put on number 8. It's all messed up now, because you're now telling me what to do. You know, the spirit of rebellion. So I put it in, and I put on number 2. I just couldn't put on number 8. And I looked back at Norton. Didn't know what you going to do about it, you know. And I just couldn't. And we laughed. That's the same spirit of rebellion that's in the lives of the members of Spirit of Life that God is trying to get rid of. Are you following me? So I have to work on me, and you have to work on you, or the download would not happen properly. There would be a virus in what we exchange. Now, today, I got some strong stuff to say. This is stuff God woke me up to write about the other week, and I couldn't say. So today I want to say, and you got to hear me. I'm not able to say everything today. I gave half the sermon to the praise team and the choir, so we shouted back there, and so I will give you the other half. If you and I, listen, if you and I don't take the time to put into action true biblical father-son, father-daughter relationship, where I, as a spiritual father, literally impart unto you what I have connected with what you have and making it the double portion, if you and I don't do that, we will not only not reach the lost, double negative, huh? Need another way to say that. We would not be able to reach the lost in the city, and we would not reach every saint in the church. Two problems. If we don't set up the proper order, we would not be able to minister effectively outside the church, and we would not reach the saints in the church. Matter of fact, we would not produce saints in the church. We will produce people who are religious. And a religious person does what they're told to do if they feel they're going to get something from it, particularly from man and hopefully from God. Right off the bat. Now, the main barrier, and you got to think with me. You helping me? Okay. The main barrier to the return of Jesus is not people outside the church. The main barrier to Jesus' return, and I'm going to tell you how it breaks down, are people in the church who are not affected by the church they attend. Let me say that again. The main problem to Jesus' return is that there are people in church who are not being affected at all. They're not changed as a result of church attendance. Church attendance is doing them no good. If you and I would put into practice proper order, father and son inheritance, we would be able to reach the lost and change what is happening in church. So I will declare, you ready? Without fear of successful contradiction, now or ever in the future, that what I'm about to say is absolutely accurate and nobody can put it down. There's absolutely no other method under heaven other than what I'm about to put out before you that will make the work of God effective as God wants it to be effective. You ready? That's a strong statement. Well, I'm going to back it up. You ready? Let's look at what Jesus told us to do first. Let's back it up. Let's look at what Jesus told us to do first. You have your thinking cap on. What did Jesus tell us to do? Matthew chapter 24, 14. Watch this. Matthew 24, 14. And I want you to think with me. I'm trying to systematically connect it to some of the stuff I've been saying. You ready? And we're going to jump into this pretty fast. Are you ready? Okay, thank you, whoever that was. Anybody ready over here? Okay, okay. And anybody over here, okay? Okay, okay. We're going to have to give them a sign over here, right? A little red light that say, you know, nod your head, amen, or something. Okay, Matthew 24:14. Watch this, watch this. What does this say? And this gospel of the, somebody say kingdom. Okay, so this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a what? So what is going to be the witness? The gospel of the kingdom will be preached for a witness unto all nations. And then what will happen? Okay, listen. So Jesus is saying, when the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for a witness, then the end will come. So how soon will Jesus return? Jesus will return as soon as we do what? Preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness. You ready? You got your thinking cap on. Today, there are about 6 billion people in the world. You ready? It is almost impossible to imagine 6 billion actual people. See, we use a number and we feel okay about it. We can imagine the number 6 billion, but the number of people. If you added up all the people who have been alive since the creation of the world from Adam and Eve to today, we have more people alive today than the total number of people who have lived on earth. I'm trying to give you a concept. You can picture 1,000, you could grasp 1,000,000. Matter of fact, they have said that if you had 1,000,000 people standing in front of you, you could not hardly see the end of the 1,000,000 people. If you were to say the name, somebody say the name. If you were to say the name of 1,000,000,000 people speaking one name per second, 24 hours a day, it would take over 30 years just to say the name of 1,000,000,000 people. Then, if you would say the name of 6 billion people, and it took over 30 years to say 1 billion names, it would take over 180 plus years to say the name of all 6 billion people. And those 6 billion people are on planet Earth, and as Christians, we are not reaching the 6 billion well. And the 6 billion are making babies. So in the next 50 years, you're going to have over 9 billion people. Imagine 9 billion when you're not reaching 6 billion. An interesting thing, God is not worried. Because God already has a method in place where he says, if you do this like I told you, the end's going to come. And then you have 78 million people being born more than those who die. So if the church was going to bring salvation to the birth rate every year, we would have to save an entire city larger than Cincinnati, Ohio, and Kansas City, Missouri each week, and still not touch anybody else. You see it? So what are we doing about it as a Christian community? Stay with me, stay with me. What are we doing about it as a Christian community? We're baptizing people as fast as we can, right? Which is a good thing. Somebody say a good thing. If people are making a decision for Christ, that is a good thing. I applaud anybody getting anybody to say yes to Jesus. Amen. Bikers for Jesus, Jews for Jesus, seniors for Jesus, hip-hoppers for Jesus, surfers, skateboarders, footballers, whatever, skinheads for Jesus. Thank God. Somebody is interested in Jesus, amen? I'm not criticizing, and I want you to hear that, I'm not criticizing what people are doing to bring people to Jesus. Are you clear about that? Movie stars for Jesus, whatever. The amazing thing is God has a plan, and if we follow the plan, then we would be able to do the work that God wants done. But right now, the church is not doing very well with winning people for Jesus. I told them earlier today that if you win people in the church and don't add seats to the church, then you're pushing somebody out of the church because numerically they cannot even get in the church. You follow that. So you have to know that the rotational, the dirty secret of the church world is that there's a rotational madness going on. The mega churches, most of them don't know who's there. And I'm not putting them down. We thank God we're going to have that kind of church, but not a kind of church that's just mega to be mega. You will hear me in a minute. The plan of God for reaching the world, listen, is not just based on the church saving the lost. God is not just interested in saving the lost. If he was interested in saving the lost, he could come down, preach a 30-minute sermon, and the billions would either be saved or lost. It would be over. He's not just interested in saving the lost. God is interested in the church being sanctified and put in biblical order before Jesus returns. Let it sink in. The salvation of the lost is not dependent on the method that I use, because God is the one who adds to the church. The method is not so much important. The salvation of the lost is not dependent so much on the method or the strategy as much as it is dependent on the obedience of the church in following biblical principles of order outlined in the Word of God. The reason why we are struggling in the church world is because we are outside the principles of God with regard to order. I'm going to talk about it. When the people of God in the church submit to order and the direction of the Holy Spirit, then those people in that church will be able to do whatever God wants done by those people in that church. And with God, you don't have to have a whole lot, but you got to have a lot of obedience and submission to his will. Are you with me? The real problem today is that God does not have a problem saving the world. God has a problem getting the people in the church to act right. God has a problem with the ignorance in the pew. God has a problem, Lord Jesus, with people who've had Bibles for 20 years and don't even know what's in the Word of God. That's his problem. His problem is not getting old drunk Sally and old crazy Larry to read the Word. No, his problem is getting you with your righteous and holy self to get into the Word and let him guide your life. That's God's problem. You're not willing to line up. We are quick as the people of God to do things God never commanded us to do, and then we're quick to never do things he has commanded us to do. That's what we do in church. Are you still with me? You ready? Here we go. Now imagine. Somebody say, now imagine. Here we go. It's going to get ugly from here on in. Amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to preach the truth because I'm going to rest well tonight. Amen? That's right. I'm not lying to you. I'm going to tell it to you like God put it out here, because I know there's a blessing. If you connect with what I'm saying, oh, Jesus, I almost said something. Y'all better pray for me, because I can feel how God wants to move some of us to the next level, and I'm just about to snatch somebody up, amen? But I'm not the snatcher, amen? God has to elevate you based on what's going on in your heart. If I could, I would just pull you up to a yes and amen, but you're going to have to do it. You ready? Imagine there's a man of God or a woman of God, and they were able to build a ministry of 10,000 members. Can you imagine that? There are a number of churches we know of, a man of God or a woman of God, a ministry of 10,000 members. In order, listen, to reach a number of members, 10,000 or so, that man of God or woman of God would have to have dedicated and loyal and committed men or women helping them. Would you agree? Huh? Okay, watch this. And they would have to have the grace and the power of God on their life to do that. Would you agree? So they would have the grace and power of God on their life, and they would have men and women helping them to reach 10,000. Amen? Would you agree that this would be a great and marvelous achievement? Would you agree? Don't be scared. Come on, y'all punking out on me. Don't be scared. Amen. Come back up to the plate. Would you agree? Yes or no? You know what's in your head. Would you agree? Is that a good thing? Don't worry about what I'm about to say. Is that a good thing? Amen. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with what you believe. Amen. Is that a good thing for the anointing of God to be on somebody and people to help them reach 10,000 people? Is that good? Yes or no? All right. If that ministry of 10,000, listen, here we go, was not established on proper biblical order, Father, Son order, the vision of that house would never continue much beyond the preaching years of that ministry leader. That 10,000 member church would do a lot of good. They would bless a lot of people. They would have a strong impact. But when the father of that house dies, the vision would die with him or her if the house is not established on proper order. If they don't have proper biblical order, father-son relationship, father-daughter relationship, they would not reach to the third and fourth generation. They will go down eventually. Let's suppose, stay with me, somebody founded a church, 10,000 members, think with me. They pass away, they go to their rest. If the founder of that church dies without putting in place proper biblical order, that church is guaranteed, somebody say guaranteed, to eventually fall victim to religious methods. See, if there's not a transfer of what's moving inside the man or woman of God, then you think I decided what I was going to preach. Then you would sit up and say, I'm going to preach this week, and I'm going to preach that next week, and I'm going to preach the other, and go on down religiously, everything lined up that way, without being dependent on the Spirit of God, saying, do this here, do that, do 4 seconds, do 9/3, do 6 11th place, put it up like that. But you will follow religious methods and a religious process, and you will be continually immature, and finally that great church will dwindle down and remain as something else. We can go to buildings today in this country that used to have thousands of people, and now 60 and 70 are gathered, the faithful. And the reason for that is that there was no transfer from the man or woman of God to sons and daughters in the house. Good things happen, no transfer. Only a father in ministry or a mother in ministry can pass on the full measure of the inheritance, the vision, the blessing, the purpose. It comes in biblical order. Matter of fact, it would be better to have one son or one daughter in proper order than to have 10,000 people attending church and church doing them no good. Are you there with me? Come on, wake your neighbor up. You don't need to sleep on this. We'll shout some other time. Amen? Amen. The saints like to be shouting all the time. You got to get this concept in your head, because church is not just about how you feel. Church is about obeying him. You got that? Wake your neighbor up. Let's go to the other hand. So one, I have 10,000 over here, right? And we say, that's not bad. Somebody say, that's not bad. On the other hand, I have the ministry here with 10,000, the leader, he dies, he doesn't set order in place, right? And the church dwindles down, loss of vision, loss of the movement of the Spirit of God, because the people left to follow him only know what he did, never what God is doing through them. On the other hand, let's imagine a different ministry. Somebody say a different ministry. With a different minister, and much smaller in number, smaller in influence. And remember, I'm not against 10,000 member churches, amen? The pastor of this ministry, different ministry, smaller number, this pastor dies, goes to his rest, but this pastor was successful, somebody say successful, in raising up sons and daughters in ministry who are walking in proper biblical order. What would be the difference between the pastor with 10,000 and the pastor with less than 10,000 with order and 10,000 without of order? Without order. The second ministry, smaller number. Are you with me? Smaller number of people, it would continue to grow from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. Can I just show you something contemporary you can see right now? Everybody in here would probably know the name Joel Osteen. Do you know his dad? See, few know the dad. The dad is the one made the deposit. And I'm not talking bloodline. I'm talking a spiritual inheritance. I'm not talking father, son, bloodline. I'm talking spiritual inheritance. The dad made a deposit so that the son comes along, and we see 25,000 when the dad had 4,000. Are you following that? But he put in place. place a process. Now, it would be up on the pastor now to put in place a process so that he raises up sons and daughters, not just have a number. Are you all hearing with me? So here the other minister, here with the smaller church, with fewer persons, he was only able to raise up 10 sons. Somebody say 10. 10 sons and daughters. They were in biblical order. They were in biblical order during his lifetime. Those 10 sons and daughters, put your thinking cap on, were able to raise up 10 more sons. Somebody say 10 more. They raised up 10 more sons and daughters who were able to raise up 10 more. Somebody say 10 more. Do you know that in 12 years, the ministry that started with one man, and he only raised up 10 sons and daughters in his lifetime, in 12 years would have grown to 10,000 people. But sons and daughters who can carry on the inheritance of the second and third generation, if they continue, put your thinking cap on, to pass on the inheritance, 10 more, raising up 10 more who would go to the second and third generation, 10 more who would have enough deposit in them that everybody they're touching deeply, in 18 years they would have 1 million sons and daughters. You did not hear me. The 10 in 12 years would be at 10,000. In 18 years would be at 1 million. Listen, in 30 years, they would have enough people to reach the entire population of the world in 30 years. Which is important now, because when Jesus was here on earth, he hung around family and relationship for 30 years. Maybe he was trying to tell us something. As powerful as this strategy is, what is the church doing to get it in place, and why is the church having a struggle getting this in place? Number one, the devil fights order. You got to know that. The devil fights order. Did you understand what I've said so far? Huh? Come on, because I got to know if you got this. This is important because we're not trying to do the 10,000 to do 10,000. We're trying to make sure we got sons and daughters in place. Because if you have them in place and they know how to carry on, they know how to operate in the things of the Spirit, in 12 years they will match whatever's over here. But in 18 years they would outdistance them. And then after that they would have enough to do the work of God. So Jesus ain't tripping. He said, if y'all do this thing right, the end's going to come. Let me say something else. As powerful as this strategy is, most churches do not raise up sons and daughters because it takes time. Somebody said time. Do you know it takes time to develop a relationship with somebody? You cannot really be in a relationship. I don't know how some of y'all do it. Talking about you got a long distance relationship with a boyfriend, a girlfriend. I believe you tripping. Amen. I really believe it, but that's your life. I am not God, but that is strange to me because you need to be around them to see them at their worst moment. You need to sneak up on them every now and then, amen. When they don't know you were coming and ring the doorbell and, oh Lord, you see what you're gonna meet, amen. Amen. I don't know what you're doing. Talking about I'm dating somebody and they're over in Australia. Yeah, you better wake up, amen. You don't know what they're doing. They're talking to you on the phone, dating somebody over the email, you know, internet. You got an email. I almost told you about some of the pictures people put up. You think that's who? No, you don't know who that is. Amen? Amen. But where is my notes? Let me get back to my sermon. Oh, yeah, time. It takes time. Amen? You cannot build a relationship without spending time. You need to be around when they're just quiet. I'm not talking about marriage. Let me get back to my notes. Amen. You cannot raise sons and daughters in a mass scale. You cannot do it as a weekend activity. As powerful as it is, it's not happening at our churches because order is a hard thing for most people to accept. Help me, Jesus. Please pray for me. I got to straighten all this out in my head, amen? There's a lot of stuff coming through. Most people have a problem accepting order. You cannot get into order without preparing for order. So most people never get in order who are out of order. And then you have to take time to get in order and change everything that's out of order. So most Christians would not do the work required to get in order. Now let me pause and say, you can go to heaven and be out of order. Father, Son order. What I'm talking about is not a requirement for you to pray. It's not a requirement for you to go around and tell somebody about Jesus. I'm talking about to get your entire inheritance, so you're going to have to get in order. Okay, you still don't believe it, but that's all right. Most church leaders and most church members are not willing to make the sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. To get in order. And because the church is not in order, God does not move. Did you hear me? Most churches don't know God hasn't been there in years. But we have enough songs to sing without God. And a lot of us have preachers, as preachers, we have enough sermons to preach without God. I could probably preach every day for years without God. I have enough notes, amen? Amen, I got years of notes, 30, 40, 50 pages of notes. For years, could preach, never have to pray another prayer. Are you listening to me? Now, what is the problem? God is not moving. What is the problem? Remember the scripture said, you are to preach the gospel of the kingdom into what? He didn't just say preach the gospel. He said, watch this, preach the gospel of what? The kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is based on relationship and order and obedience to kingdom principles. Did you all hear me? You're still not sure what I'm talking about. I'm going to make it plain, amen. It's about becoming sons and daughters in proper order to the divine will of the Father. Okay, go back to the text. Here we go. You ready? Luke chapter 16. And again, I'm not doing an expository on Luke 16, but this text says very specifically what I want to say, and I believe the pattern will be here. We're going to look at the pattern. I think that will convince you. Luke chapter 16, look at verse number 12. You ready? What does it say? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, which belongs to another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Are you ready? Are you ready? Watch this. How will I receive my own? Stay with me. How can you get your inheritance to pass it on to the next generation? Watch the pattern. What was Abraham doing when God called him? Think. Abraham's father had died. Watch the pattern. Abraham had taken on the responsibilities his father had died. Abraham was busy with his father's work. As Abe was busy with his father's work, then God called him, because if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you your own? Okay, no, look at the pattern. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. Help me, Jesus. Exodus chapter 3. Watch this. Verses 1 and 2. Watch the pattern. If we went up to chapter 2, verse 25, God is looking at the children of Israel. He's getting ready to deal, right? Chapter 3. Now Moses, watch the wording. This is very, very important here. Moses kept the flock of God is telling us something. I'm getting ready to deal with somebody who's taking care of somebody else's stuff. Moses is doing what? He's keeping the flock of Jethro, his what? He could have been out there cursing his father-in-law. Man, I got to follow these old dusty, dirty cows and all of this stuff. Moses, by the way, how long did Moses do this thing? Whoa, listen, so God was willing to wait 40 years, because when God moves, it doesn't take long for God to do his stuff. I'm gonna watch Moses. somebody else's stuff. And as he is faithful in taking care of somebody else's stuff, I'm going to give him something else. God then comes along in verse number 2. That's when he appeared to him out of the burning bush. Listen, forget this point. If Moses had not been faithful in his father-in-law's business, when God gave Moses his assignment, you remember Moses was meeting with the people and they were coming day after day and wearing Moses out. You remember that in your Bible? And Jethro, same guy, came along and told Moses how to straighten it out, follow me. If Moses had not been faithful, Jethro wouldn't have said a thing when he saw Moses all messed up. Because you don't cast your pearls before swine. What you are doing today determines what will take place in your life tomorrow. Look at the pattern. If you're not faithful in that which belongs to another man, how will you ever get your own? Look at Jesus. He's called in the Bible not the cousin of God, not the nephew of God, not the neighbor of God. Huh? Jesus is called the Son. Watch this. He spent 30 years on earth working in his earthly father's vision. 30 years. Working in the family carpentry business, 30 years. And only after Jesus had successfully submitted, he increased in wisdom and knowledge and favor with God and man. It was only after he successfully submitted to his earthly father's vision that God called him to fulfill his heavenly father's calling. Now the question becomes, which assignment is more important? The 30 years with my family or 3.5 years saving the world? The problem is in the question, because which assignment qualifies me for the next assignment? That I cannot be qualified for what's coming next because I'm not faithful with what is in front of me now. And Jesus walked in the pattern, now proper biblical father-son order. You remember at 12 years old, Jesus is saying, hey, I ought to be about my father's business. The Holy Ghost did not help him. Go back home and be a boy in your mama's house. Make sure your daddy's business is taken care of. God's business will come later. You go back home, look at the pattern. Jesus had to follow order and relationship. And because Jesus walked it out, he walked out the same principle in his disciples. So that Paul, who came along later and was moved with the power of experience with Jesus, embraced a Timothy and raised up sons. Look at the pattern. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, you cannot have your own. Who's going to give you your own? You ready? What does this mean for spirit of life? Here's what I've got. You have to ask yourself this question. I have questions I have to ask me. But you have questions you have to ask you. Wake your neighbor up. The devil is a liar. Amen? Everybody up in here needs this today. Amen? You need it. You need it. If you're tired, stand up. I told you. I've already given you permission. Amen? I will not clown you for trying to stay awake in church. Amen? What does it mean for spirit of life? You have to ask yourself a question. You have to do what, everyone? You have to listen. You have to ask yourself a question about the vision God has given me as the spiritual father in this house. You have to ask, is this of God or not? If it is not of God, why are you here? If it is of God, why aren't you in order? Are you working on my vision or are you doing your own thing? If you don't have my heart as a set man of the house and you don't have my wife's heart as a set woman of the house, you cannot make the connection to your assignment in God. If you cannot connect, you are in the wrong church. Because if you don't get connected, you never get your own stuff. You got to get in the right church so you can get connected in proper order so you can get yours. How will you ever get yours if you're not faithful with another man's?
And you cannot be faithful with another man's if you're not connected to that man. Look at the pattern. If you can't feel the set man, you can't feel the woman in the house, you can't get with it, you can't get with the flow, then guess what? You're in the wrong church. I don't want you to leave, but I want you to get blessed. You're not going to get blessed if you can't connect. If you're not feeling us as husband and wife, preacher and wife, we're one. When I lay down, she's right there in the bed with me. That is the only address for me to lay down in. You all follow me? And she's here for a reason. Sometimes the people you don't like are placed in your life to bless you and to bring stuff out in you that ain't right. Some of the greatest blessings I've had in life have come from my enemies. If you cannot connect to us, you are in the wrong church. Don't waste your time in here when you ought to be somewhere getting your stuff. Please hear me. There are ministries and churches that I personally cannot connect with. That doesn't mean they're bad. I just can't connect. Are you following me? Some of you have favorite preachers. I've been in conversation. Oh, do you like so-and-so? And you like so-and-so. You read this book? I didn't read it. I don't like it. There's nothing wrong with them, but they don't bless me. When I hear them, they bore me to tears. I mean, really, it just bothers me. It's like baby food. I don't eat off of that. I can't. I'm sorry. I don't even like talking to people who don't have original ideas. It can be different from mine, but at least let it be original. Say trees are blue. Something. I mean, make it up if you have to. I would not be able to join that church. I couldn't survive. They're good preachers, excellent churches. They do wonderful things for God. They don't bless me. They're not bad. I'm not evil. I simply have a different assignment in the kingdom. That is not where I'm supposed to be connected. If you're in a church and you can't connect to the set woman in the house, the set man in the house, you can't receive from them. And if you can't receive from them, you can't be in relationship with them. And if you can't be in relationship, you cannot get your inheritance. Johnny Cochran, you ready? If you can't connect, you must eject. If it does not fit, then you must quit. Amen? You got it? Are you here in this fellowship because you want me to do what you think I should do? Or are you honestly here to help me do what God has called me to do as we work together? Look at the pattern. If you're not faithful in that which is another man's, then who shall give you that which is your own? You got that? If God has placed you in this house, and my wife here is my partner in ministry, and we minister together, you connect to us. If God has sent you away to work on another vision, go away. Work, no, I don't mean that in a negative way. Go away and work on that vision. So your ministry connection with your father in the ministry, you will get the inheritance that you need so that Jesus can come. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about each of us lining up with God to do what God needs to have done so Jesus returns. Gospel of the kingdom, the pattern. Moses stayed connected to Jethro. And then God called him away. Abraham connected to his father's house until God called him away. Jesus connected to Joseph until it was time for him to do heavenly business. If you are striving to do better, then you will connect as God is striving to bring us up. And we're striving to bless you, then you'll be striving to receive. Do you have it? How can you get yours? Some of you have great businesses inside of you.
Some of you have great dreams, things that you desire. And we are both frustrated watching you not have what God desires to give you. And the main reason for some, not all, but the main reason for some is that you're not even faithful with somebody else's stuff. So then you can't get your own. But if you would be faithful with another man's stuff, then God will come along and bring you into yours. And how many of you know, based on the Bible, you won't lose time while God is developing you. 30 years with Jesus, hanging around with Mary and Joseph and his brothers, laughing and playing Uno or whatever games they played. Not preaching, playing and having a good time. And then the father said, okay, it's time. Goodbye. Got to do my heavenly father's business. Moses, following behind these old ugly donkeys. 40 years. And then one day God says, it's time. It's time. Because you've been faithful in that which is another man's. Now I can give you that which is your own. Do you have it? Here's what I believe that I can impart to you at this point. I can impart to you the ability to be honest with yourself. I can impart to you the ability to worship God fully and to be a cheerful giver. We'll be able to give more, we'll be able to give more, we'll be able to bless you with more. But right now, receive that kind of impartation, connect. By first being honest with yourself, worshiping God fully, and learning how to give cheerfully. Would you stand with me? How many of you got it? All right, all right. Amen. Remember, church is about us gathering and saying to God, whatever you say to us, we are willing to do. Here's the pattern, and you can find it all throughout Scripture. We looked at Elisha. You remember, Jesus is not going to come until he turned the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. We're looking for the mark of the beast and what they're going to do with your credit cards and all of that. We're tripping about none of that. God can mess up a computer. Amen? The God we serve can mess up. Matter of fact, God didn't have to do it. A roach can crawl up in there. Amen? And short the thing out. So don't be tripping about that kind of thing. Make sure you are in order. And I just showed you here. If we got in order, Jesus can do it. If I could figure out how he could do it in 30 years, you know God has figured out how to do it sooner. Are you following that? So in little pockets all over the city, people are coming in line, father-son relationship, receiving an impartation and being faithful with that which belongs to somebody else so that they can have their own as a result of their faithfulness. Okay, what do we need? We need you, one, to be faithful in church attendance. So we're growing together. Amen? We need you to be just faithful in that. Show up sick, tired, bad hair day, whatever. Show up at church. Amen? Amen. Whatever you're going through, show up. Be faithful in that. If you give an assignment in church, be faithful in that. Do it with excellence. Amen. Everything you're doing for God, do it with excellence. Be honest with yourself. Look at you first. Spend this time as we're getting in order, looking at where you are out of order. Be honest with that. Spend this time worshiping God fully. Don't have the praise team have to pull you in. You jump in. Amen. Praising and celebrating God because he's so wonderful. He's so awesome. And then give cheerfully. Let the blessing of Abraham flow into your house in positive ways. Let it happen. So, Father, we thank you for these people here today. We thank you for what you have said to us. Yes. I need to ask you for a commitment. I can't just preach it and let you go. I need a show of hands that you're going to line up in order. What do you understand so far? One, that there's an impartation. I've shared the three things that I know we can impart right now. You're ready to receive those three. God will reveal more as we go on. You're ready to move in that direction. I just need a show of your hands. You're making a decision like that. Not for me. By the way, I will not judge you if you do not raise your hand. I just need to see where we are. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Father, I thank you that you're doing a powerful work in our lives here at Spirit of Life. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you take your neighbor's hand? I want to pray. We have people who are visiting with us here today. I want to thank you if this is your first time or second time, or you've been here more often than that. That person holding your hand symbolically is a statement from me and the leaders and the members of this church that we love you, and we would like for you to be a part of our fellowship. If you don't have a home, if you're not connected, thank you, Lord. If you're not connected, this is a good place to connect. It's a good place to be. And we would like to be able to impart into your life. If you're looking for a church home, you're looking for a family for fellowship, if you just want to grow in God, maybe you just want prayer. Somebody just pray for me and not require anything out of you. We would do that today. I want you to just squeeze the person's hands next to you. If you're making that kind of decision, you're visiting today, just squeeze their hand, and they would take your hand and bring you up here, and we'll stand together. Amen. So just squeeze their hand. If you're saying, yes, I want the prayer, I want to make the connection, hallelujah, I want Jesus to move in my life, I'm looking for a church home, just squeeze their hand, and they will take your hand and bring you up here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whatever the situation is, whatever the issues are, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm available to you. Use me. Hallelujah. 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 Use me, Lord, to show someone the way. Thank you, Jesus. And enable me to say, thank you, Jesus. My storage is empty. Thank you, Jesus. And I am available to you. Let's cry out to the Lord. Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available to you. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Receive a Father's blessing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. These hands have to celebrate more and praise God more. You got to clap your way to success. Celebrating. Hallelujah. Praise him. Don't let the devil steal your praise. Don't let him steal your praise. Take it back today. Celebrate him. Celebrate God. Celebrate him. Worship him with all your heart. Release praise and worship. Release praise and worship. Come on, let's just release. Come on, let's release. No. Let's release some praise and worship. Come on, celebrate him. Celebrate God. Come on, celebrate God. God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I worship you. Come on, praise him. Praise him. As you're praising, come on, don't let the devil have the praise. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. There you go. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise him in spite of what I'm going through. Let God know that you love him. Say back to God, I love you. Hallelujah. I bless you today. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Like you used to praise him. Like you used to praise him. Yes, Lord. Like you used to praise him. Like you used to bless him.
Thank you, Lord, like you used to praise him. Yes, like you used to bless him when it didn't matter. Hallelujah. Release that praise. Come on, praise your way to success. Come on, praise your way right on around the corner. Praise your way to success. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let it happen. Let it happen. Release it. Release it. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have our neighbor's hand. We have our friend's hand. Come on, let's squeeze their hand. Father, we just bless you for our friend and our neighbors today. Thank you for what they've heard today. Thank you that as they bless others, they will receive their own. Now, somebody in this service has been weary, oh God. They've been trying so hard, overlooked time and time again. But we thank you today, through the power of your Holy Ghost, you're making a difference. And so we're receiving inheritance from you today. Would you just reach up today and say, Lord, I'm receiving inheritance today. I'm receiving it, God. I'm receiving it from you today. I'm receiving it from you today. Hallelujah. I'm receiving it from you today. Let the pain go. Let the pain go. Come on. Let the pain go. Arthritis, get out of the way in the name of Jesus. I'm going to praise God today. Hallelujah. Arthritis, get out of the way. Hallelujah. Out of the way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless him today. Yes, yokes are broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be. And I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and an evangelistic center, youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational, and a lot of evangelistic activity will take place. We will have the kind of headquarters that will glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation, monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property, and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There, you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage. I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.